I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendez. Hope you guys are all well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, then, we'll be looking back at yesterday's frustrating 1-1 draw up at Northampton. Joining me to talk about yesterday's game, first up, top right of the screen, First Lady of Charlton Live, Sue Gallop. How you doing, Sue?
I'm good. I'm a bit mixed feelings, but we've obviously discussed that during the show.
You certainly will. That's the plan. Anyway, and bottom of the screen there, a man who hopefully has finally thawed out after what could only be described as arctic conditions at Sixfield yesterday that took me by surprise as well. Is Terry Smith. How you doing, Tell?
I'm good, mate. I'm glad you said that as well, because it took me by surprise. I thought it might just be my age. You know, why should I be surprised that it's cold in February? Yeah. Just February in Northampton. But it was surprisingly freezing.
Yeah, it really was, especially by the end of the game. Like, yeah, I just didn't expect it. So, yeah, that was tough for us. Right, so, on today's show, then, we'll hear the goals very shortly from yesterday's draw. We're going to hear, of course, from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. We're going to hear from defender Macaulay Gillespie as well, who I caught up with briefly after the game yesterday. We've got a guest fan lined up later on, Mark Anderson, who I had the pleasure of sitting next to on the train up to Northampton yesterday, along with his son Liam and a couple of their mates. Clive was there as well, and Stuart, I think it was. Mark's going to join us later on, which I'm looking forward to. All hell let loose, as it is. It's still February in Northampton. Well, that's the time difference, obviously, that Terry's taken into account there. Maybe that's Terry's age as well, actually. We want to hear from you guys too. I said, all hell let loose is in there already. Bob's in there as well in the chat. Says that shame about the result, as we were in control for most of the game. I missed the deadline to watch, but still had the great commentary. I hope you enjoyed it. Bob Sam's in there. All hell let loose is saying I'm not allowed to go to a game again, which is probably fair. Dudley saying they've got to lock me up before Cheltenham on Tuesday. I'm afraid to say I am going. Chris is in there. Ray's in there. Murray's in there. Paul's in there. Ian, let us know what you made of yesterday's game. Let us know your thoughts on the mistake by Harry Eisted. Obviously a big one that has cost us a couple of points, unfortunately, yesterday. But the performance as a whole, what changes you'd like to see ahead of Cheltenham on Tuesday as well? Terry, just before we hear the comms then, other than the arctic conditions that took us all by surprise, the game, how do you sum that one up?
Yeah, I think you said it in the intro. Frustrating, wasn't it? I mean, there was a time not that long ago where had somebody been sat in front of me with a very large head and an extremely larger bobblehead that I couldn't see the game, I'd have been quite relieved. But on this occasion and now, it's different, isn't it? And frustrated because we still put performance in. We still looked like a side that was considerably better than we have been. But then, that frailty that we've showed most of the season before Nathan Jones arrived reared its ugly head at the worst possible moment, and we came away with a point. Mixed feelings. Happy that we clearly are progressing, and the performance and the fans that travelled up as well. It was a good atmosphere. It was a fairly decent day, other than the freezing temperatures and the end result.
Certainly was. Right, let's have a listen back to the goals then from Charlton TV yesterday. Commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Edmunds Green gets to the clearance, though, brings it forward for Charlton on the right of centre. Little great ball out to Tanae Watson. Ball into the box, taking a deflection. Carnu trying to turn, cleared away again. Maybe Tanae Watson can get there once more. Teeing up Anderson, takes the shot, deflected it in! And Charlton had the lead, Karoy Anderson. With his second in as many games, the Addicts are ahead here.
Well, it all starts with a wonderful touch from Edmunds Greentail on his left foot, controls it and drives forward out of defence, out to that right-hand side to Tanay Watson. Ball in the box wasn't cleared properly. Credit to Watson keeping the move alive, laying off Anderson, who's everything he touches at the moment turns to goals for Charlton. Edmunds Green making that run forward, finding Watson, who's low cross again. Guthrie had two attempts to try and clear. There was another clearance as well. Watson won the ball back, and Anderson with his left foot this time. Heavy deflection. Goes beyond the goalkeeper. Corey Anderson runs and celebrates again for Charlton away from home.
To make break here on the right-hand side. Thomas guiding it back to Eisted though before Hundemar can get there. It's a heavy touch from Eisted. Oh, and his problems here. And a goal out of nothing. And a mistake from Eisted. I think that's a Pere who scored it.
I don't believe it, Till. Charlton moments away. Moments away from going 2-0 up. Alfie May just couldn't get his shot away. A clear forward to Earl Thomas, back to Eisted, who initially made the right decision taking a touch, but then should have just cleared his lines. Took another touch, completely missed that Hoskins was there. And Northampton, who haven't looked like scoring whatsoever, let's be honest, in the last 20 minutes or so, have been given an absolute gift. Meister took a touch, but then took another touch, slid in, won the ball for Hoskins, and Aperi had an open goal. And suddenly Charlton will now look for the win again.
There we go. So that's the highlights of yesterday's game. From Charlton TV, I mean, let's address the elephant in the room, Sue. It was a massive howler from Harry Eisted, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was. But you know what I said after the game? Let's not put too much on him. Like, I think Harry's fantastic. I feel more comfortable with him in goal than Ashley. And yeah, people make mistakes. Unfortunately, that's what's cost us a couple of points. But I think as well, and I've seen it in the chat, actually, we had plenty of opportunities to tie that game up earlier on with a couple of chances that Alfie had. So I think you've got to look at it as, yeah, it was his mistake that led to the goal, but at the same time, we shouldn't have been in that position in the first place, really. And I think we need to be a bit kind to him. Let's just get behind him and sort of go on to Tuesday and hope that his head doesn't go down too much. Because I can imagine that Harry's the sort of player that would have gone in after the game and sort of apologised to the lads. I'm not sort of holding too much responsibility on Harry for that.
I mean, you clearly shouldn't have taken the second touch, Tell. It's interesting that obviously we've compared our goalkeepers throughout the season because by the time Ashley's time was up, it was clear that his confidence was on the floor and he was making a lot of strange decisions. And one of the things I said shortly before the swap over was the only thing we do know is before Harry came back into the side recently, he'd had one good game for us, but he had four sort of nothing games. He admitted himself, and then the Shrewsbury one away, where he made a string of saves, and we spoke to him, but he also injured himself in the process of that. He admitted himself, it's the first game he's made saves. So it almost bears the question that are we now that we've had a bit of a larger sample size from Harry, are we seeing, do we reflect on that as one mistake in one game, or are we concerned that both our goalkeepers have got that sort of thing in them this season?
Well, only they know that, I think. And look, I think we've looked defensively better since Nathan Jones has arrived and he's made the changes. So whether we'd have still looked defensively better with Ashley in goal, who knows? You can only guess that. And I think I mentioned last time I was on about this mentality change, and this is going to sound like I'm clutching at straws, and I accept that. But I think before, when we've had made mistakes at the back, whether it be goalkeeper, whether it be centre halves, whether it be midfield, defensive midfield, we've put that down to a lack of confidence because of the form we're in, because we're not playing, we're not playing very well, and we're panicking, etc., etc. I'm not sure you can level that for this mistake. I think maybe this was about complacency. We were so comfortable yesterday. I mean, they hardly touched us offensively, and so he didn't have a huge amount to do, Harry. And I'm just wondering whether You know, he had to take a touch when the ball came back to him because it was fizzed at him a little bit from Terrell. So he had to take the touch and he took it. Clearly didn't look, you know, on his right-hand side to see who was closest. But even if he had, the second touch was too heavy, regardless. If he could have got away with taking a very faint second touch, he'd have probably got away with that. But it was too heavy and they pounced on it. And maybe that's just down to the fact that, you know, we were so comfortable. He thought he had plenty of time because he had up to that point had all the time in the world, it seemed. So I'm clutching at straws a little bit, I know, but maybe this is about the goalkeeper just switching off a little bit because we were so relaxed in the game. And Sue's right. You know, when a goalkeeper makes a mistake, and it leads to a goal, then everybody's dumping on him. And you understand that. But when a striker makes a mistake and doesn't score, he gets away with it a bit more. And, you know, we should have been 3 or 4 nil up by the time that mistake came.
Yeah, and Harry, as we saw in the highlights video there, he apologised to the fans at full time. I asked Nathan after the game what he said to the goalkeeper, and I mean, we'll hear it in the interview, but he said he absolutely hammered him, which is, I guess he probably knew that was coming there, Sue. The pass back from Terrell, I've seen a couple of people. So, I mean, Adam said he thought the Terrell Thomas pass back wasn't good. Ironically, his first touch was good from Iced, and then the second one was costly. He also added that we know he's not good with his feet. We saw him against Millwall in pre-season doing that. I don't even think the pass back from Terrell was that bad. I think Harry will know overall that it was him to blame for that mistake, and he'll have to react to it. Chris says you can't overreact to a horrendous error like that, but it does happen. Martin Eisted says, I blame the strikers. I will say, just for clarity now, Martin is definitely not related to Harry Eisted, so just in case anyone's getting carried away seeing that. Paul reckons that fans are overreacting to his mistakes. All hell let loose, says Harry Eisted's been good for 5.5 games. Then one error doesn't make him a poor keeper. Because the most frustrating part of yesterday, Sue, as Terry said, that we didn't really look like we were going to concede a goal yesterday. We were, again, much more organised at the back. I think we were dealing with stuff coming into the area. I still think, like, distribution-wise, certainly Terrell, maybe a couple of the others, when they got in and made their clearances, there was a lot of hoofing and sliced clearances rather than keeping possession of the ball. But overall, certainly looking a bit more organised defensively, that was there again yesterday?
Yeah, I think in that respect, we did, although we looked comfortable throughout the game, we did, at those moments, look a little bit, like, panicky. So it was almost like, let's just lump it up. But then I can recall, sort of, they were saying about the wind and actually how the conditions were affecting the hoofs as such. But, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because, like you say, we looked comfortable. We had more chances to sort of finish that game off. And then we've only ended up with a point, and it's a bit, I guess that's probably why so much of the focus is on what Harry did, because like Terry's just said, we should have been 3 or 4 nil up before it even got to that point. So again, I'm trying to look at it like, right, it's another point. Let's let it go. Let's focus on Tuesday, take the positives from it. We played well. But we should have scored more. That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Chris Davin says, got mixed feelings. Not to be too patronising. No, I am patronising. It's Northampton Town. These are the kind of games that make you realise how far we've fallen. Yeah, and every season in League One is a good reminder of how far we've fallen. Andrew says, I feel a bit glass half full after that result. Plenty of positives against the team who are decent at home. One mistake and 2 points gone. It's still another point on the board. I mean, it started so well. Murray's asking if we scored too early. But, I mean, obviously we did score early, Tell. Your big fans, Elsie and Grace, are watching you on Charlton Live, by the way, apparently, Lee says. We scored early. Another goal for Caroy. When you get a goal at that point in the game, you think, right, here we go, we're going to go on steamroller this lot. And it was the perfect start. And again for Caroy, another, you know, took a couple of deflections, but it's another midfielder arriving in the penalty box, making himself a little bit of space and finishing.
Yeah, and I think the conditions did play a part in that, by the way. I think it was especially, if you notice in the first half, if you remember, I should say, the the Northampton clearances were doing exactly the same thing as what we ended up doing in the second half. They were only going so far because there was that crosswind, which made it even colder, especially at pitch level. That was really difficult to judge because it was it wasn't constant. It was blustery is the word, I guess. And so it was a very difficult conditions to play in. Not to say that, you know, they're professional footballers and should be able to handle that sort of stuff. But they found it difficult in the first half. We found it less difficult, I think, in the second half. But it certainly contributed to having a game that was difficult to judge. You saw passes going too long from both sides because, you know, when you expected the wind to take it, it didn't. And when you weren't expecting the wind to take it, it did. So I think that played its part. But that being said, I think you know the side will almost certainly be looking back in the travel back and today, and when they look when they analyse it, you know, it's a game we should have won comfortably. We know that, and but I think again, I'm trying to clutch at the positivity in that you know, we're in a position now where we're upset with a point, and that's good. It's a good thing, isn't it? You know, we know we should have won it. All right, it doesn't help the position we're in because we're at the wrong end. And I get that, but we're now, you know, analysing a game that we know we should have won, and that hasn't happened a lot. And so I'm holding that as a positive.
Yeah, that's what Jay says. Something similar says, first time in ages I've watched a game we've controlled and not felt nervous that we were going to concede. And then Eisted had a blonde moment. He put it as yeah. Paul said the same. I was feeling there was no way we're going to concede. We're comfortable, and that's certainly how it felt for us yesterday. Should have been more comfortable, Sue. I mean, with the chances we had, you would have fancied Alfie on another day, particularly the header, because I think quite close range, he was unlucky with the one that came off the post, arguably. There was a moment shortly, like literally 30 seconds before their goal, where we did something very similar. We won the ball inside their penalty area, and May just took a little bit too long to get the shot off. There was a couple of other chances, I think. There was just after the ball hit the post, I think, when Tanai had his shot. I think that's when Nathan is suggesting that maybe he should have squared it for Freddie Ladapo as well, rather than skewing his shot wide. So there were moments where we could have killed it off. And that's arguably sort of been us at times this season, where we've been in good positions and either haven't killed games off, or because of that, it's been so tight, we've made a mistake. And that is something that has happened all this season.
Yeah, it's not different for us, is it? And I think, I don't know, like we've talked the last sort of few weeks about Alfie, and has he gone a little bit off the boil? I know he scored the penalty the other night, but actually from open play, where is his head at in terms of confidence and stuff? Because that's someone that you would probably put your house on scoring at least one of those chances. And I think, yeah, it's hard to know what's going on for Alfie in that respect, because he's someone that has, well, with 21 goals in a season, that has just not been great. That's not a bad return. But at the same time, then you're looking at those opportunities yesterday. And I'm not putting it all on Alfie, because obviously other people had opportunities. But someone like Alfie, you just have that expectation or that he's just going to finish those off and get us the 3 points. But I don't know. I guess, like, obviously he gave him, Nathan gave him a bit of a break, and he's come back in, and you wouldn't be against Alfie coming back in. But again, I have to sort of wonder what might be going on for him to have not be the play that we've like sort of come to rely on. I don't know. I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, Ray says it was a good performance. Shame about the howler from Eisted, but we should have been out of sight by then. Play like that and we will win a lot of games between now and the end of the season. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with Alfie. Like, I remember him saying more than once that he knows he goes through spurts of goal scoring, and obviously he's massively on a dry patch at the moment. I wonder if just a game at Cheltenham might help him on Tuesday, just going back to, you know, somewhere where he'll be eager to put in a good performance against his former side. Murray said he's pleased that Nathan Jones is holding players accountable for the errors, and that's also, he says, creating a better team spirit. I mean, with the lack of Chooks and Ike on the bench yesterday, that was one of my fears before kickoff. When I did the It's Cool All Cobblers to Me pod on during midweek, sort of looking ahead to the game, I mentioned about how the fact that we have Chucks on the bench and can bring him on means that we become a threat for 90 minutes. And it just gives opposition something to think about in those closing stages of the game. And obviously, the fact that we conceded and then we're under a bit of pressure actually for a little while, their tails were up. The fact that we couldn't bring on Chuch to alleviate that and to give Northampton something else to think about obviously played a part in those closing stages as well, Tel.
Yeah, I'm not sure it would have made a huge amount of difference, if I'm honest, with Jax yesterday, because you know, any team, when they're given a gift for out of nothing and they've been fairly average or worse for most of the game, are going to get a lift. I mean, they had a brief lift when they made the subs, and we countered that comfortably, and then looked a threat again. We give them the goal, and they, you know, they're on their, they've got their tails up for 5 or 10 minutes, and it's amazing when you listen to the Northampton fans, and then their commentators themselves afterwards suddenly thought they were the best team in the world for 10 minutes, and they should have beat us, etc. So it's weird how some fans and commentators, you know, use that 10-minute spell to try and justify the previous 85 or whatever it was. With Alfie, you know, all strikers go through it. And again, I'm not trying to gloss over what is obviously not acceptable. You know, he should be scoring goals. Of course, we know that. He's a striker, and that's what he's paid to do. But, you know, all best strikers in the world, or any striker in the world, will go through phases where things just don't seem to happen. You know, you think you're getting in the same positions, and maybe there's a mindset where you rush shots rather than take your time because you're so desperate to score. That's human nature, I guess. He'll score again. You know, he's a talent. He wouldn't have just won that Player of the Year trophy if he wasn't, and he wouldn't be scoring the goals he scores if he wasn't. So, I think the fact that we haven't got that natural width anymore has affected Alfie May, because, you know, I wouldn't say a lot of his goals, but, you know, when you're getting wide and you're getting balls into the box and he can sniff around and create the opportunities are created for him, if you like, then he's going to score goals. I think at the moment, the way we're playing, he's got to create those opportunities almost by himself. And that, I think, might take a bit of getting used to. And I think he's still working really hard. And him and Daniel Carner up top yesterday were putting a real shift in. And that contributed to the fact that we were in the ascendancy for most of the game. So, you know, yes, the goals aren't coming from him personally, but, you know, I'm also of the mindset, having played up top for a while in my rubbish career, I always felt it was a bit unfair that, you know, you pin all your hopes on one person to score, I don't know, 20, 30 goals a season, whatever it is, where you've got 10 other players out on the pitch. Well, what's their responsibility then? You know, everybody's responsible. It's not just a bloke up top. So, you know, do you then blame, you know, Cryan single one? Could he have got three? Freddie Adapo in the middle, near the end, got the ball caught up in his feet. That's not his fault, but do you blame him because he didn't convert that? Do you blame Dobbo for not shooting when you know, he had the opportunity to do so and then chose not to? And that was probably conditions as well, because the wind might have just gusted up and he probably thought, well, this is going, you know, like miles over if I hit it. So there are lots of reasons why we don't score goals, and it isn't just because Alfie May's not quite firing at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, Jay says, no worries on Alfie's form. He had a barren spell in the first five games, but the effort and positional sense was still there. And Dean says, I met Dean on the train yesterday. Alfie was fantastic yesterday, chasing things down, encouraging Carney to get up his game. It's not just about goals. Aaron says, we need our strikers to hit some form. Alfie has had some good chances yesterday. We aren't going to create many with this team. Sam says, I think May, we've got to remember Appleton played him out of position for a number of games, and we haven't played to the best of his ability. I mean, Robert's asking, what does Ladapo offer? Adam says he was poor when he came on. He offered nothing. So what have you seen of Freddie? He had that goal against Lincoln, didn't he? Then I thought he played well up at Bolton, where there was a lot of harrying to be doing, and he was doing that. But he does feel like he's reverted a little bit to the Freddie Ladapo that first turned up over the last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that energy, does chase things down quite a lot. But I don't know, maybe it's just taking him a little bit more time to settle. Again, it's difficult to know, isn't it? Because, like, you come in and not long after, you get another manager being sacked. And again, I know they're professionals, they should be used to these sorts of things, but it must be quite unsettling. And then, again, I'm trying to remember how many games that he's actually started and played the full 90. I don't think there's any. I'm trying to remember now. But I guess fitness, that we are sort of rotating quite a bit with our forwards, well, with the team, because Nathan's making a lot of changes from game to game, I guess, based on what's happening in training and how tired players are. I still feel like confident with Freddie, because we all know what he's capable of. I think, again, it's just trying to play to his strengths. And I guess I'm not sure what the situation is with contracts and stuff, but if we see him in a Charlton shirt next season, having a good pre-season is going to be vital for Freddie, because, again, he hasn't had that game time, has he?
Yeah. So I think he's still got more time on his contract with Ipswich, from what I understand. But it's a weird one that wasn't exactly very clear when we asked about it. I think there's some sort of, like, bonus in his contract if Ipswich go up, which is why he's not massively willing to give up that contract yet. But yeah, we'll see. If I mean, I personally, based on what I've seen so far, I wouldn't be that desperate to sign him next season. From what we've seen so far. Aaron says, just quickly on Tanay Watson, not that it matters what the opposition think, but I think Northampton fans were sat amongst us, who he was sat amongst, Aaron, yesterday, were saying he's our best player, and they needed to work on the opposite wing. He's had a few better games, Tanay Watson. I think that's fair to say. And bear in mind, this is while carrying an injury as well, Tell. So, yeah, another one where one of the things you can pinpoint under Nathan Jones is that there are three or four players, individuals, that look better under him, which, you know, obviously Lloyd Jones, I think, is one of those that's clearly improved under him as well. That is a good sign.
Yeah, I think the teams look better, and Tanay Watson is one of those players in that team that is exactly that. And, you know, if you'd have asked fans 6-7 games ago who they'd never want to see in a Charlton shirt again, that he might have been in that list, you know what I mean? And which I thought was unfair then, but more so now. Tanay's been outstanding, and Thierry Small as well on the other side. We look balanced. He looks a threat going forward, and he probably didn't have his best game yesterday either, because, and again, I think it's down to the conditions. You know, he's getting into positions, but you know, there was unsure about how to cross it after that. Tanay Watson, I think, is a very good player, and he's proved that over the last few weeks for sure. I think regarding Freddie Ladapo, I think it's a tough one, because we all have seen how good he is against us, so we know what talent there is there. He hasn't quite hit the same height since he's been playing for us. There's flashes of it for sure. Is that down to confidence? Is that down to fitness? only really Nathan Jones will know. He spoke to you last week, I think, me as well, about cutting the squad. He says it's too big, it's difficult to work with when it's this size. And whether that means just cutting numbers or completely culling and starting again is going to be an interesting one to look at the end of this season. I think, obviously, we've just got to get this season out of the way and make sure we're still in it, in the division, and flying. And then it's going to be really interesting off-season. If he's given the money and the time to change his choice, then yeah, it's going to be a really interesting summer. Whether players like Freddie will survive that, it's going to be interesting to see.
Right. I mean, if we're being realistic, I mean, let's not forget we are 19th or something in League One. So even if we've seen improvements in some of the players over the last few weeks, I think it has to be a massive overhaul, because the squad clearly, even with improvement, has won one game in however many, even under Nathan, we've only won one game under Nathan. I think getting better performances out of this squad is a good sign, but I still think there's clearly players in this squad who, if you are serious about actually trying to go for promotion next season, wouldn't be anywhere near us. You know, like, if we want to talk about certain players, like, you know, I said people like Terrell, who've clearly improved under Nathan over the last few weeks, but you still pointed out those slice clearances. There were quite a lot of those yesterday. They're the sort of thing you have in a squad that's going for promotion. So take the positives that Nathan's got a bit of a tune out of some of them, but still, we've got to be realistic about, I don't think the squad's anywhere near promotion levels or without a massive overhaul. So that's what I think will have to happen in the summer. Well, let's hear from the Addicts boss, shall we? I spoke to Nathan Jones after yesterday's game. These are his thoughts on the 1-1 draw with Northampton Town. Nathan, 1-1 draw here at Northampton. What's your overall views?
I'm really my My initial reaction is pure disappointment because we didn't deserve to draw that game. Second half, we controlled the game, we dominated. We had real good situations, chances to have put the game to bed, and we didn't. And then it's a big error that has gifted those a point, and that's a disappointing thing. Overall, the level of performance, how we went about it, how we grafted, I'm really, really proud of them. Like, I really am. Showed we're a very difficult side to beat when we, you know, when we go after teams and then we can grind a team down, and then we come into our own. Then we started playing some really nice football. I'm just disappointed we've drawn it.
Yeah, I mean, the way you were defending, it didn't feel like they were going to score today.
Look, only a gift was going to give him a goal today. I felt second half. That's not being disrespectful. That's just reiterating how well we defended, how well we organised we were, and I thought we were in total control. It just took and right before, you know, they had that chance, we had a glorious chance to have put the game to bed, and didn't do it that end, then create a big error, and I that was the only way they were going to score today.
So Harry apologising to the fans after the game. What do you say to him after a mistake like that?
I've hammered him, and I probably shouldn't have, but you know what was said in there will stay in there. But I'm disappointed with him because he's a real good keeper. He's been brilliant all afternoon. He's been brilliant since I've come back in, and just allowed that to happen. And look, sometimes your emotion gets the better of you. He won't do that again. He's never made an error like that for me, and since I've known him, like, so look, he got an earful, but you know, we'll move on from that.
He expects him to bounce back as well.
Oh, he will bounce back. He's a great kid. I love him. Like, you know, I spoke to him in there, but you know, we're in a situation where we've got to be professional in everything we do, and we've got to see games out, and we've got to, you know, when we're on top, we've got to put teams to bed, and if we don't, then we keep clean sheets and win the game anyway. But we didn't quite do that today.
Obviously, the result, not the one you wanted, but the overall performance, you must have been pleased
absolutely,
with.
Absolutely. And that's what you've got to look at. You know, I'd have probably settled for playing poorly today and winning, because the points are vital. But, you know, over the last, forget the Reading game, you know, since then, since that game, we've had five games where, you know, I think we've been very, very good in terms of everything. It's just a shame that we haven't won the game today.
And Caroy's decided to add goals to his game now, second one in a week.
Well, good. Look, we encourage him. You know, he's got good energy. He's always in and around things, and showed a bit of composure. And you know, it was probably our first sort of attack. And I think if we'd showed a little bit more quality first half, we'd have created more. We did show more quality second half and created far more.
You had to take Tanay off again today. Stayed down before he came off. Is that the same injury?
Yeah, look, he's going through it and he stiffens up, so we know we're going to get 70 off him, and then we need to see from there. Like, that's where we put, you know, Nathan Asimway on the bench, because we knew that we might need him later on.
How much of a boost was it to have Michael Hector back in the squad?
Well, yeah, when it's always good to have our good players back, and Michael's a very good player.
No Chooks today. Is that just managing his minutes?
Well, no, look, he felt his calf was stiff after Tuesday night and things, so it's no point risking him. We want him ready for Tuesday.
Yeah, because I saw he travelled, so it's not something that's going to keep him out.
No.
Looking ahead to Tuesday, because it's absolutely freezing and we want to get out of here. I mean, five unbeaten, that's not a bad place to be going into a big game like Tuesday.
No, look, we're not in a bad place in any way, shape or form. It's just it would have been wonderful if we'd had two more points. It would have pushed us up the league. It would have given us a bit more of a buffer, and it would have been, we'd have had what we deserved.
And it's a huge game, obviously, a six-pointer. Are these the sort of environment that you thrive in, games like that?
Well, we've got to, but it's not just what I thrive in. What the whole club and the players have to thrive in as well. You know, we're looking forward to every game now, because we're in a level of performance where we're doing very, very well. So we've got to keep that momentum going, keep picking up points, and then, you know, get ourselves away from the danger zone.
There's a 4-point gap above Cheltenham. Do you ever go into a game thinking a point would be a good point to keep them at arm's length?
No.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just for the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, following yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Northampton Town. Obviously, he was freezing. It was really cold yesterday, so you could tell he was struggling with the temperature there. So the way he talks publicly about his players when they've made a mistake, is that interesting? Some managers do, some managers don't. It's a different style of man management, and obviously, Nathan spoke about how he's hammered Harry in the dressing room there, but also obviously did say he likes him as a player and he expects him to bounce back. But is that just the sort of character we're going to get to understand from Nathan?
Yeah, I think he's very direct. He's very honest. Obviously, he sort of said he's not going to share what exactly he said. But so you keep that in the dressing room. But I think as a fan, you want that level of honesty, don't you? You don't want someone to then start fluffing it up and sort of ignoring the fact that there was this horrendous sort of howler. So I think anyone, if you have someone then that kind of tries to defend that or ignore that mistake, you lose respect for that manager, don't you? Because you think, like, that's effectively cost us 2 points, so why are you just skirting over it? So I think as well, we need that. We need to have that sort of manager that, yeah, you don't want players being publicly hammered, but he hasn't hammered him. He's just pointed out the obvious. The hammering has been done behind closed doors, which is the absolutely right thing to do. So I don't have an issue with that. And I think, again, he's that sort of person that will know how to pick Harry up after that. I mean, I think Harry's probably perfectly capable of picking himself up. And Nathan knows him because obviously he played under him at Luton. So he knows how to look after him and get the best out of him. But it's interesting in what we've been used to previously. I do prefer the more direct, honest manager, because he's only saying what everyone else is thinking, isn't he? At the end of the day, as a fan, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, John says that there's nothing wrong with a bit of honesty. Norman says it's great that Nathan Hammond stood for the error. It sends a message to the rest of the team that he won't accept those type of mistakes. Chris says Holden would have put his arm around him. Jones put his hand around his throat. Terry, All Hell Let Loose, is asking if you'd expect a reaction from Harry on Tuesday night. So when something like that happens, obviously you sort of sink or swim, really, don't you? So I bumped into Callum, who was our guest fan a few weeks ago, and we were talking about apparently Harry, I can't really remember this, made a similar mistake earlier on this season and we got away with it. Maybe at Shrewsbury, he said, maybe kicked it against a striker or something. People might have a better memory of me than me on that mistake, but it will be how you react to it now. I'll be shocked if he's dropped.
I'll be amazed if he's dropped. I think 2 points here. I mean, we almost got away with it yesterday as well, because Harry made the mistake, made the heavy touch, and then dived at the feet of the player, and it sort of squirted the wrong way, if you like. It could have gone anywhere, and it went straight to a pair to slide it home. It could have gone absolutely anywhere. So we almost got away with it. But going back to Nathan, and I think Harry Eyster will be fine, by the way. I think goalkeepers have to be barking mad to be a goalkeeper in the first place. And so I think their resilience is probably slightly higher on the scale than most players in terms of making. I wouldn't say they're used to it, but I think it's part of the territory, if you like. With Nathan Jones, I think everybody likes his honesty. I think it's clear to see. And I think I've always preferred the environment where when I played, you know, even whether it be a manager or another player, a captain or somebody who's a senior professional, if they give you an absolute rollicking on the pitch, because you've made a mistake, you've got to own that. You've got to expect it, deal with it. The best ones are the ones that saying about Dean Oldham would have put his arm around him. I think Nathan Jones would still have put his arm around Harry Eisted, but you give him a rollicking first. You lay down the law. You make him clear that he can't do that again. And absolutely rip him a new one. But then you put your arm around it. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's probably the difference between Nathan Jones and a few others is that he's quite capable of ripping you apart, but also quite capable of lifting you up straight afterwards as well. So I think that's the refreshingness of Nathan Jones. And I think if we're missing one thing currently, is that we don't have that on the field. On the pitch itself, I don't think we've got anybody who will absolutely rip somebody apart on the field, a leader, a captain. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the things that we really need to see on the pitch.
Yeah, Andrew said we'll see how he reacts on Tuesday, one way or another. This is a good point by Alex. Says I think Ash will be disappointed that Harry isn't having to make 5 or 10 saves per game since Nathan Jones has come in. The defence has clearly improved and taken a lot of pressure off the goalkeeper. Because that is one debate I've been having in my mind about. Obviously, I think we look better organised. We don't give up as many chances now. So how much does that almost protect the goalkeeper? How much is Harry? You know, Harry's made some good saves. He made a couple of good saves away at Reading. How much is the fact that we do look better defensively overall helping Harry and you know, since he's had a little moment now again, his reaction to that will be really interesting. Right, our guest fans in the waiting room will come to Mark shortly, but we've also got an interview to hear just before that. So after yesterday's game, I spoke to Macaulay Gillespie for the first time, our new defender who signed from Plymouth in the January transfer window. This is his views on yesterday's draw up at Northampton. 3-1-all draw here at Northampton. How did you see the game today?
I thought we should have really got the 3 points today. Created plenty of chances, and I don't think they had many bar the one that scored. So it's a tough one to take, but we'll crack on, we'll go again.
Yeah, what's the feeling in the dressing room after being denied the 2 points?
It's always disappointment, isn't it? When you feel you should have took the 3 points, but it is what it is, football, it happens. So,
have the group sort of got around Harry after his mistake?
Nah, he's a big boy and he'll crack on, he'll get on with it. And obviously the lads will just encourage him, but he knows, he's experienced enough, he knows.
Yeah, well, Nathan said he gave him a bit of a rocket in there. Is that quite interesting to see probably the unhappy manager for the first time?
H probably knew it was coming, it was probably expected, but like I say, he's a big boy, he'll crack on, he's fine with it.
Yeah, obviously the main frustration will be from the fact that Charlton didn't really look much like conceding a goal today.
Yeah, it is frustrating. Like I say, H will be disappointed in himself, but like I say, he's a big boy, will crack on, and as a defender obviously you want to keep clean sheets, and today we didn't manage that, but by the looks of it, we should have really got the clean sheet. But
yeah, I mean, as a defensive unit it feels like you've been heading in the right direction over the last few weeks. What has Nathan brought in that's changed that?
I think it's just from the front really, it's the whole team who's out there who's defending from the front. I think that helps putting the pressure on, and then when it comes to us there's a lot of pressure on them to deliver. But I think we're doing all right overall as a team defensively. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of people always talk about sort of defensive organisation. Is that something that Nathan's done a lot of work on the training ground?
Yeah, we have, to be fair. A lot of sessions on the defensive shape and when to press and when not to press.
Yeah, from your own point of view, obviously you come back into the side recently. How you feel you've been getting on?
Yeah, doing all right. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting there, getting fitter, getting game time. So that always helps.
So yeah, that big tackle against Pompey a couple of weeks ago, which obviously would have been a big lift for you as well.
Yeah, a little confidence boost for us. Yeah, to get us going again.
Yeah. How do you see Tuesday coming up against Cheltenham? Obviously a big important game for the side.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game away from home again, but we've got to back ourselves and hopefully get the 3 points.
Go for another clean sheet as well. I guess it'll be the main target as
Hopefully another clean sheet. Yeah, hopefully.
There we go. That's Macaulay Gillespie having a brief chat with me yesterday after the game. So I mentioned about defence sort of heading in the right direction, Tell. So I did some stats last night. So I mean, we're still the fourth worst defence in the division. We can't get away from that. But over the last three or four, I mean, the last three games, our goals conceded per game has gone down quite heavily, which is good, because over the course of the season, we've conceded a goal and a half per game, and now we've only conceded two in the last three. So obviously that's hopefully part of it. I mean, do you think McCauley has played a part in that himself? Don't forget, obviously, he had his own mistake against Derby at the Valley. But yeah, he had his moment against Portsmouth. And how have you rated him since he's come in?
Oh, I think that would have been been quite a tough game for him, the game against Derby, having been responsible, like Harry was yesterday, for us losing that game against Derby, giving passing it straight to Mendes Lang on one leg. I think he mentioned it there, McCauley, yesterday. It's not just about the defenders, the three at the back. I think Edmunds Green actually was outstanding yesterday, by the way, I thought. He probably had his best game for us yesterday. I think it's the whole side. If you look at the energy that they seem to have got now, I mean, even from Daniel Carno up top and Alfie May yesterday up top, they closed down defenders to make it difficult for them to just play easy balls out. And I think we were guilty of allowing teams to play through us too easily. And so the whole side, I mean, Connor Coventry seems to have found another gear. And we know what George Dobson does, and he does it superbly well. But I think the whole side now doesn't allow the opposition to rest on the ball easily and pick a pass. And so they're constantly under pressure, which takes the pressure off the back three as it is at the minute. So, and the goalkeeper. So I think McCauley was right. It's the whole side defensively that seems to have improved, not just the three at the back.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we can continue in that vein for the rest of the season. Right, it is time to bring in our guest fan, one I've been looking forward to since yesterday. I was on the train up to Northampton with Mark Anderson, who joins us now. How you doing, Mark? You all right?
Yeah, all good. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, we're all really good. Really pleased to have you on, Mark. You've been a popular choice amongst those out there in social media land as well. Tell us your thoughts on yesterday's game.
Yesterday, yeah. Frustrating, wasn't it? I think we'd done all the hard work, placated them. They didn't look like scoring. We got an early goal. And, the inevitable happened, you know, the Charlton way. We just give them the goal, and then we had 10 minutes to rectify it, and it was never going to be enough, was it? But so I think we all left the ground slightly deflated, you know, because they didn't trouble us at all, I didn't think, you know. So that was the overriding view on the train home yesterday, you know.
Hi, Mark. Lovely to see you. Just on your thoughts since Nathan's come, because I know you go home and away every single game, like what are the key differences you've seen since Nathan's come in?
Well, I just heard you talking about, you know, Nathan there rollicking the keeper yesterday, but then sort of apologising afterwards. I'm with Terry. I'm a bit old school. I like to see that. I think that's what we need, a bit of steel, you know. Bowie used to do it, and maybe, you know, went a bit too far with some players, you know, hauling them off if they didn't do exactly what he wanted in those first, you know, first minutes coming on. But I like to see that in a manager. I like to see a bit of fear, and I think, you know, it was valid yesterday. I think, you know, we basically... Watching the interview afterwards, he was so disappointed, wasn't he, that we dropped 2 points here. And I like to see that steel, that bit of Welsh dragon in him, you know. It's fantastic. I love it.
So, I'm more surprised that, Mark, that you remember the train ride home.
No, there is that. We were trying to get Louis on the drink beforehand, but he wasn't out, you know.
But, ultra professional.
Yeah, of course he is. But it was nice sitting next to Louis yesterday. And as I get older, my mind's a bit of a fog. He should have had my son on today, really. He'll give you all the stats and facts and figures. I'm more of a sort of rounded man these days. I'm looking for more of a team effort, you know, not, you know, this player's playing well, this player's doing this. I like to see a manager mould a team like Bowyer did. You know, they may not be the greatest players in the world, But Mulder team, it's hard to beat. And I think Nathan's going to do that. And you know, there's sort of, you know, what we've seen in the last few weeks, you know, it bodes well, I think. You know, it really do.
Yeah, and one of the things we've liked to talk about, well, more so near the start of the season, as the season's unravelled, we've sort of forgot to relate to it a lot towards the end. But with our guest fans, I like to talk about not just the football, but actually the day out you had. So obviously I bumped into you guys on the train yesterday. Yeah. You was there with your son, you were there with Clive, and was it Stuart you was there with as well? Yeah. There's quite a few of you knocking about. I mean, tell us about your experience of your away day and why you enjoy going to games with all your mates and those people who you travel with.
Well, it's life, isn't it? It's life. I mean, it's been a big part of my life for over 40 years. And obviously, we're all those old boys I go with, like Stuart, Clive, etc. They've all got kids now. And those kids have got the same passion that we once had burning, you know. I mean, we're all still passionate about the club. But you can half the time these days, you know, I'm trying to find a team again that I can fall in love with. And Liam sort of pushes me to games. Sometimes I think, oh, can I be arsed? But he's got that passion that I used to have, like Clive's boy and Stuart's boy. You know, they're all got that same desire and, you know, passion about going to the match. And it is a social thing. For us, it is, you know. You know, we drink more when we're losing, you know, and we drink a lot when we're winning. So it's a major part of, you know, life for me. You know, going to the match with the boy, it's brilliant, you know.
Yeah, and it really is special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Just finally then, I mean, Chris says that Mark will always give you a round as well, which is obviously a good thing. just finally, just on the football front, are you confident we can stay up this season?
I am, yeah, definitely. I think this week, I think, you know, all being well, I think we'll come out of this week with 6 points. I really do. I think he's instilled something different in them, and I think they'll gain 6 points this week. I really do, and I think you know, we'll all wonder why we were worried. I mean, I wish we could fast forward to next season. We've stayed up, and. And next season, I think with him at the helm, like Nathan, I think he will mould that side into a decent side. I really do. You know,
fingers crossed. That's the way it turns out. Look, Marcus, it's been a pleasure to have you on. I've been looking forward to this ever since we bumped into you yesterday, and you didn't disappoint.
Bless you. No, thanks for having me. All right.
One of my challenges going forward, I think, is to travel with Mark and the gang on the train to a game. And see if I can still commentate after.
Very important world, you know that.
Oh, no.
Brilliant. Thanks. There we go. That's Mark Anderson. He's been this week's guest fan on Charlton Live. Thanks, thanks a lot to Mark for coming on. All right, we've got a few minutes. Obviously, we have to look ahead to this massive game at Cheltenham on Tuesday, Sue. So I put it to Nathan Jones, knowing fully what the answer would be, but just to see how he would answer it. And it was pretty much a one-word answer, actually. But so we're 4 points ahead of Cheltenham in the relegation zone. So if we go there and draw, we will remain 4 points ahead of them. And that would not be the end of the world, as far as I'm concerned. Nathan didn't agree with that. Like, he was like, no, we don't go there aiming for a point. But would a point be the end of the world on Tuesday? Not for me.
It wouldn't. But I mean, he said, didn't he, as soon as he came in, like, it'd take the couple of games that we had the point, and then, but now the expectation is you've got to try and win every game, and he'll instill that in the players. So yeah, 100% would take a point, but as we've seen by the result in the week, that actually we are capable of winning games, and I feel like potentially we've got the ability, I'm going to regret saying this, to absolutely batter them on Tuesday night. So I think that would be Nathan's expectation. And it's mine now. He's raised the bar with the expectation through the fan base as well. So, yeah, we probably all would take a point because, yeah, it keeps that gap there. But let's make the gap bigger. Why are we just, like, 4 points yet? 6 points is even better.
I mean, so Cheltenham have only lost one in their last six, Tel. This is a very different Cheltenham side to the one that went something like 11 games without scoring a goal at the start of the season. I mean, it's a remarkable one run they started this campaign with, and to be anywhere near getting out of the drop zone considering how badly they started is an incredible achievement by Daryl Clark. I mean, if you remember when we played Cheltenham at home, we beat them. I've never seen such a bad reaction to a win. Like, we beat them 2-1, two penalties, and everyone was thoroughly miserable because there were signs that night of what was to come, which was indeed a 16-game winless run. So it's not necessarily going to be an easy game. I like the mentality of going there thinking we should absolutely batter them, and that's what Chris says. We've got no excuse for not winning comfortably, but we found an excuse to not win comfortably games pretty much all season.
I think Mark mentioned it just now when he was on. There's the Cheltenhamised aspect of this that we expect that we should batter them, and if we but in the back of our minds, if we expect to batter them, we probably won't. It's that Cheltenham aspect of being a football fan. I'd be disappointed with the point, if I'm honest. Yeah, because I think we've shown performances since Nathan Jones has arrived that mean we should and can beat Cheltenham and beat them comfortably. We should and could have beaten Northampton comfortably, but we didn't. You know, so things can happen in football. So I'll be as disappointed probably as I am now that we didn't beat Northampton if we don't beat Cheltenham. Having said that, as long as we put that performance in that we have done pretty much since he's arrived, if you ignore the Reading one, then I'll be happy with the performance. If we put the same performance in as we have in the last four games, I'll be happy enough with that, because that, if that continues, it'll bring points, whether it be on Tuesday night or whenever. If we carry on putting those performances in, we'll be okay, and we'll get enough points to see us away from danger. So, but my gut feeling is that if we put in that performance against a side like Cheltenham, then we should win.
Yeah, I mean, Dudley says a point at Cheltenham's not good enough with Cheltenham Athletic. Asked Nathan. Chris says, look at the budgets between us and them. It's like Man City versus Dagenham. And that, yeah, it's totally, obviously, I've been saying that sort of stuff all season. It's remarkable the level of sides that we're playing and not beating this season. But purely from the table point of view, there's a four-point gap. And I think a draw wouldn't be the end of the world as long as we back it up with a win on Saturday. All Hell Let Loose says, one excuse for not winning comfortably is that I'm going to be there, which is obviously the case. Unless something goes horribly wrong between now and then, Sue. In terms of team news, obviously, I mean, Alfie and Freddie seem to be a bit interchangeable at the moment. I mean, yesterday I think was the first time in a while that we've seen both Connor Coventry and George Dobson start together. Obviously, at the back we saw Michael Hector come back into the side towards the end of the game. There's a few again choices that Nathan will be making. Is there anything that stands out that you'd like to see different on Tuesday night, Sue?
I think obviously Lloyd's due back now, and he's had his two game ban, and then that I think we all would 100% say we want to see Chucks on the bench. I'm not sure about Dobbo and Coventry together. I don't know. I think it worked fairly well yesterday. So I guess, yeah, give it another go. See how that goes. But up front, I think I'd probably go with a similar setup to against Derby away, but just with Jones coming back in. I think it just firms it up a bit at the back.
It's not a bad idea, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right. Andrew says, can Anderson and Carney keep playing two games a week? I mean, young players, obviously we're putting them through the ringer a little bit, Tel, but so far they've showed that they can, I guess.
Yeah, the youth that we have and the energy that they show is refreshing. I wouldn't be surprised to see Daniel Connor back in the starting lineup. I also wouldn't be surprised if with Jones coming back in, Lloyd Jones coming back in, that he might think about resting Tanay Watson and put Edmunds Green on that right hand side instead. It's, you know, he's shown that he knows about the intensity of the fixtures. He knows he's got to use the squad, and he might give Tanay a break because he's carrying this injury. It's difficult to know because Nathan, as he said, he picks a side that will win the game. And so they'll be looking at Cheltenham, see what they've got to face and what they've got to be up against, and he'll pick a side accordingly and rest players where he can. I'd like to see Chucks on the bench, but it's not guaranteed. You don't know for sure. He might think, I'll give him another week's rest, it'll be even better. So who knows? But I think whatever side he puts out there, and I mentioned it just now, if they all put the performance in, then we should be winning the game.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live as Dawn comes in to tell Terry. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us live on the show in the YouTube chat today and giving all your comments. So don't forget to subscribe to our Charlton Live page on YouTube. Big thanks to everyone who's caught up on the podcast or YouTube afterwards as well. It was great to have Mark on earlier on as our guest fan. So big thanks to Mark Anderson for joining us. Sue and Terry, great to speak to the pair of you as always.
Cheers, Luke. Cheers, Sue.
You too. Cheers,
both. Right, so don't forget, we'll be back on Thursday where we'll be looking back at the game at Cheltenham and then ahead to Saturday's home game with Carlisle at the Valley. So look forward to speaking to you then. But I'm Louis Mendes. This has been Cheltenham Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Thursday.